Are we to still keep the Sabbath? And if so, why? Or if so, or if not, why not? Of course, that goes back all the way to Exodus chapter 20, when Moses and the children of Israel are in their wilderness wandering period. They come to Mount Sinai, which is also called Mount Horeb. And Jehovah gives Moses on the mountain what's commonly called the Ten Commandments. And it's the fourth of those Ten Commandments that we're going to look at tonight. That's Exodus chapter 20. And the fourth commandment, the one dealing with Sabbath keeping, begins in verse 8. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. This is God speaking. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your strangers within the gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So the question is, is that commandment something that we are to observe today? Well, the only way, of course, we can answer that question accurately is to go to God's Word. The first thing we want to look at this evening is the fact that Sabbath keeping was for national Israel. It was for the nation of Israel. Observing the Sabbath was a part of that law that God gave to them when they were the chosen people of God. And that's very significant. It's when Israel was God's special people. And of course, we'll see later on that that's no longer the case. National Israel, the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, are no longer God's chosen people. But Sabbath keeping was given to them while they were God's chosen people. And it was not given to those people's ancestors. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, this is one of the most important passages, I think, of all the lesson. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Moses has all of Israel there. This is right before the last few months before they go into the promised land. And what Moses does in Deuteronomy is he reemphasizes and reteaches the law of Moses, what we commonly call the law of Moses. And in these verses, Moses is talking to the children of Israel, national Israel, and telling them about this law. Beginning in verse 1, "And Moses called all Israel and said to them, 'Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgment which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them.'" Remember, this is a new generation that's hearing it. "The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb," another word for Sinai. "The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive." That is a very important verse, one that is, I think, commonly not discussed when Sabbath keeping is brought up. Moses makes it clear to these Israelites that their ancestors were not a part of this covenant. This covenant was made on Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, there in Exodus chapter 20 that we just read, was made with that Israel. It was not made with the patriarchs. It was not made with these people's ancestors. It wasn't made with them. It was not their covenant. Abraham was not under that covenant. Noah, not under that covenant. They didn't live under the law of Moses. So Moses makes it clear here to whom the covenant was given, and given only. Only to these people. And so only those people, or those were the only ones who were accountable to it. So those who lived before Moses, those that go back in time before that, they were not told to observe the Sabbath. That wasn't their commandment. That commandment to keep the Sabbath, there that we read in Exodus chapter 20, was for national Israel, was for the nation of Israel. Some, and this is quite often heard, some mistakenly believe that the Sabbath was to be kept forever. And the verse they use, the only verse, is Exodus chapter 31. And with every teaching in the Bible, the only way to know what the Bible teaches is to look at all that the Bible teaches, not just one particular verse. Exodus chapter 31, verse 16, and then we'll read verse 17 along with it. Exodus 31, verses 16 and 17. This is about the Sabbath law. Verse 16 says, "Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations." Very important phrase. "Throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever." I'm going to look at the word forever. "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." Many who believe that Sabbath keeping was to last through the end of time go to this verse. It says, look, that says forever. So forever always means throughout the end of time. No, it doesn't. It often means a very specific, definite period of time. That's why we must always look at everything the Bible teaches instead of just looking at one verse. In Exodus chapter 21, we're going to see the exact same Hebrew word used. Exodus 21. And we're going to read verses 5 and 6 to show you that the word forever often does not mean throughout the end of time. Exodus chapter 21, verses 5 and 6. This is some laws concerning servants. This is all, again, part of the law of Moses. Exodus 21, verses 5 and 6 says, "But if the servant plainly says, 'I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free,' then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever." It's the exact same word in the Hebrew that's used there in Exodus 31. So there in verse 6, does that mean through the end of time? Well, of course not. The servant's not going to live through the end of time. The word forever must be looked at in its context. There, the word forever does not mean throughout the end of time. That is a very short, actually, period of time that the servant would serve him. Certainly no longer than the death of the servant. So forever sometimes can mean a very short period of time, depending on the context. So every time we see the word forever, we must look at the context. All that the Bible teaches about it. So the Sabbath was to be observed, as he says there in that one verse, throughout the generations. Throughout the generations. As long as national Israel was God's chosen people, they were to keep the Sabbath. But Israel's no longer God's chosen people, and they haven't been for nearly 2,000 years. That ended, as we'll see in the next point, on the cross. Jesus lived as a Jew. What did he do? He observed the Sabbath. Why? Because that law was binding upon him. But he lived, we might say, the other side of the cross. So it was binding upon him. But the Jews today, Israel today, is not God's chosen people. And when they stopped being God's chosen people, the Sabbath stopped. It's a very clear connection between those two things. The Sabbath was strictly for national Israel for a specific period of time throughout the generations of the Israelites when they were God's chosen people, the nation of Israel, of which they are not any longer God's chosen people. So observing the Sabbath was for a specific period of time to a specific period of people. for a specific reason. Number two, as I just mentioned, Sabbath keeping lasted until the death of Christ. It was nailed to the cross. The Sabbath, as we've read in Exodus chapter 20 and other places, was part of the law of Moses. It was the fourth law, the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments. It was done away with, and the Old Testament tells us it was going to be done away with. The Old Testament tells us Sabbath keeping and the entire law of Moses was a temporary covenant. Temporary in time. It had a purpose. When that purpose was fulfilled, it was done away with. People were no longer accountable to it, and no one today is accountable to anything in the law of Moses. Jeremiah wanted the people to understand that the law of Moses was a temporary law. And so he left for us Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning in verse 31, which is then repeated in Hebrews chapter 8. In Jeremiah 31, beginning in verse 31, the Lord tells us that this through Jeremiah. It says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." And notice what he says next. "It's not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt." It wasn't the covenant that he made with them while they were in those wilderness wandering days. "My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more." So the law of Moses, that covenant that was made on Horeb, Mount Sinai, was temporary. It was never, ever meant to be an eternal or everlasting covenant through the end of time. God never intended it for it to be. He clearly said that it was a temporary covenant. And it was going to end. And Jeremiah said that God was going to make a new covenant. Now the writer of Hebrews says why he did that. In Hebrews chapter 8, the Hebrew writer reveals this to us about that prophecy. Verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 8 says, "For if that first covenant," and that first covenant in the few verses before this is referring to the law of Moses, the one that contained the Ten Commandments, "had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them," he says, and then he quotes those verses from Jeremiah. That covenant was done away with. Why? Because now we have a better covenant established upon better promises, having a better high priest. So Sabbath keeping, part of the law of Moses, part of that old covenant, was done away with. The Hebrew writer makes that very, very clear. That Ten Commandments, which included Sabbath keeping, was done away with according to Paul. In Romans chapter 7, Paul writes to the church at Rome, wanting them to understand that that law of Moses, that old law, was no longer a valid law, not any part of it. Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 4 says, "Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we've been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now notice verse 7. Just in case the people in Rome didn't understand what law he was talking about, Paul makes it crystal clear in verse 7 what law it is. For he says in verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. What law said you shall not covet? The Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20. We go back to Exodus chapter 20. We read verse 17. And that's the commandment that deals with coveting. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. This is God giving the Ten Commandments, and we had read verses 8 through 11. Verse 17 says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. You shall not covet. So there is, without any doubt whatsoever, that the law he's referring to in verses 4 through 7 was the law of Moses, which included the Ten Commandments, one being, you shall not covet. Paul says, you are dead to that law. You have nothing to do with that law. That law is not for you anymore. It was in the past, years ago, but it was done away with. And it was done away with on Calvary. Going back once again to Hebrews, this time in the next chapter, Hebrews chapter 9, beginning in verse 15, the Hebrew writer tells us this about the new covenant and the old. Hebrews 9, beginning in verse 15. And for this reason he, and the context, if you go to the above verses, is talking about Christ. Christ is the mediator of the new covenant. All right? He's the mediator of the new covenant. How did he become the mediator of the new covenant? The next phrase says, by means of death. By means of death. For the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise, the eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, or a covenant, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is enforced after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. So the law of Moses was done away with, that old covenant was done away with at death. Whose death? He says Christ's death. That's how Jesus became the mediator, the testator of the new covenant, was at his death, because that new covenant would not have any force, power, authority while Jesus was still alive. But when he died on the cross, the law of Moses was nailed to it with him. This is what Paul told the church in Colossae, in Colossians chapter 2. For he was telling them, the Colossian church had questions about a number of things. One of them certainly had to do with the law of Moses. In Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 13, he says, and you, the Colossian Christians, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting. Notice what he says. The handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Do we know what this handwriting of requirements is? Yes, because he's just mentioned what in the prior verses? Circumcision. Circumcision, just like Sabbath keeping, was a part of the law of Moses. When Sabbath keeping was done away with, circumcision was done away with as a religious rite. It was no longer to be practiced as something that was binding. So Sabbath keeping, circumcision, all of those commandments, all of the part of law, the law of Moses, all of that was done away with on the cross, nailed to the cross. Which means, therefore, coming to point number three, that Sabbath keeping is not part of the law of Christ. When the church was started in Acts chapter 2, the people who became part of that church there on Pentecost were Jewish. And we see some of the struggles that some of those Jewish people had in giving up some of the requirements of the law of Moses. Well, in Acts chapter 15, we have an account of a conference, we might call it, that put to rest those questions. Sometimes called the Jerusalem Council. In Acts chapter 15, verse 1, we see this. Certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren. Notice, taught the brothers and sisters in Christ, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. So these men were coming and saying, you had to be circumcised according to the law of Moses. And if you weren't, you could not be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. They wanted to have the absolute final answer on, was anything under the law of Moses still binding on anybody? We skip down to verses 10 and 11. They're at the Jerusalem Council now. This is Peter talking. He says, now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. And notice he calls this putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples. What was the yoke he was talking about? Circumcision. It says, why are you going back to the law of Moses and saying that you have to, in addition to repenting and confessing and being baptized, in addition to that, why are you saying that you have to be circumcised as well? Paul said circumcision was a part of that yoke that nobody was able to bear. Why would you go back and bring something from the law of Moses that was a yoke? Then verse 24 is the one that nails the lid on the coffin for Sabbath keeping. The apostles and the elders, in verse 22, it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. They wrote this letter to them. The apostles, the elders, and the brethren to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, greetings. Verse 24, since we have heard that some who went out from us, remember they came from Judea, and in particular, of course, these people were from Jerusalem, who went out from us have troubled you with words unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. End of story. That was the end of it. The apostles and the elders said, nothing in the law of Moses, circumcision was just one of the examples, was a commandment. There was no commandment in the law of Moses that was brought over. You can apply it to circumcision, you can apply it to Sabbath keeping, you can apply it to anything. It says none of that is binding any more. Not any of it. And when we read the New Testament from Acts chapter 2 on, we see that there's not a single example of Christians keeping the Sabbath. Not a single one. They don't keep any of the law of Moses as a commandment, as a requirement. Matter of fact, especially Paul goes as far as he can in making sure that everybody he teaches and preaches to knows that the law of Moses was nailed to the cross and is no longer binding on a single soul anywhere. Whether it was circumcision or Sabbath keeping or those sacrifices or whatever. But what do we find Christians in the New Testament doing? We find them observing Sunday. Sunday's not a new Sabbath. Sunday is the first day of the week. That's what we see Christians doing in the first century. Never keeping the Sabbath, but rather observing the first day of the week as the Lord's Day, the day of worship. That's what the Bible tells us today. It teaches us that Sabbath keeping was done away with. It was only for a specific period of time, to a specific period of people, for a specific reason. And it ended on Calvary. And after that, nothing in the law of Moses was binding upon anybody on the face of the earth. The law of Moses had been fulfilled. Jesus said he came to do that, fulfill the law of Moses, and he did that. And he fulfilled it on Calvary. And so when he died on Calvary, he became that mediator, that testator of a new covenant. And so now Christians follow the law of Christ, not the law of Moses. And the law of Christ says we observe the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, and we keep it. But we do not keep the Sabbath. That was part of a covenant that has, for almost 2,000 years, been done away with. That's what the Bible clearly teaches. If we take the entire teachings of the Bible on Sabbath keeping. And surely that's what we want to do. Look at the entire context. And I hope all of us, I know it has helped me, looking at why the Sabbath was kept, who was to keep it, and how long it was to be kept. But we're part of a better covenant established upon better promises because we have a better high priest. We don't have a yearly Day of Atonement like the Jewish people did. We don't have to have that yearly time where the high priest would go into the most holy place and make those sacrifices. Our sins aren't remembered every year on the Day of Atonement. Once our sins are forgiven, whether it's through baptism initially or through repentance and confession afterwards, once they're forgiven, they're done, forgotten, erased. There's no remembrance of them anymore. And remember, that's exactly what Jeremiah prophesied in Jeremiah 31, verse 34. I will remember their iniquities no more. And he doesn't. Tonight, if there is a need for any to come to answer the invitation, to ask for prayers or for help in any way, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.